Welcome to Technori Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of the Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in the first time, what is Technori? Well, put simply, Technori is where startups go to showcase. Since 2010, nearly 300 companies have come through our way, have been featured on our show or on our stage, and to date, they've gone on to raise more than $260 million in funding. All right, so now we're going to pivot over. This is going to be interesting. We'll start by saying, is it Walcott Tech?
Yeah, Walcott Energy Group.
Walcott Energy Group. And Nate, correct?
Yeah.
Nate. So we have a good story, a background here. I went to Marquette University with your younger brother, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach and I, do we call it shenanigans? I mean, this is Irish, so we call it shenanigans?
I think shenanigans is a very appropriate term.
Yeah, so I'm just going to tell you, if you want to speak freely and tell some stories, I know we ran into each other a handful of times at Marquette University. This is graduated in 06, so we're nice and young. But Zach and I used to get ourselves into a little bit of trouble.
Well, yeah,
he's the first guy I met, by the way. I don't know if you know this. He's the first friend that when I transferred to Marquette University, I had a friend from high school, Jessica King, who was in the Abode East area. And Zach and Drew lived just down the street. And so they were friends through, I don't know, Hugh and a bunch of other people, taking you guys on a little journey through my college experience. Zach was down the street, and I was the first person I met.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, it's funny, actually, and you mentioned Drew. He's one of these people that you know is going to end up being a good doctor. At the same time, you're terrified that he's in medical school.
I was just telling one of my friends. I said this to Zach when he first told me that Drew was, like, actually doing the medical thing. I was like, oh, good Lord.
Well, I got to give that kid credit, though. I mean, because he spent better part of 10 years in different types of academic programs to finally get into medical school to be where he's at. So, I mean, he's definitely, you know, you want to look at someone and say, you've done what you need to do. He did it.
No, that dude is a hustler. He works his butt off, no question. So I want to obviously talk about your company, but I think it's interesting just, you know, I see this all the time. One of our producers who's here, not mic'd up, Sam, always mentions he wants to know what high school I went to because we have so many people who come through the show who do a really great job who went to my high school. We had like one on last week, one on the week before that, and also college.
Yeah.
So it's funny to see how it's a huge city, and we're talking about Milwaukee, which is another city, and we still end up finding, you know, common connections and things that like stay current.
It's a staggeringly small world in that way.
Yes, it is.
No, absolutely. My brother actually always referred to an occasion with you at the library where...
I've never been there.
Oh, well, I think that it was somewhere else. No, but it was the library, and you attempted to use most of the cards in your wallet to access the library, finding out you hadn't had it, and your apartment was across campus. So he found great delight in that for years.
We had a bunch of stupid meathead things. I don't know if you ever told... You were probably there. This is the last story on college, I swear to God. Uncle Rico's going to get put away. We used to do this thing where, I don't know, I still can't feel anything, I think, but we would have drinks, and I don't know if everyone's ever seen Crocodile Dundee, but there's this character, Donk, I think it's Donk, and he would put this beer on his head, and essentially you would drink, obviously you had to drink a little bit beforehand, put the beer on your head, and then one of the guys basically has to take a full, this is a no-messing-around swing at the gut, and if you spill the beer, I don't remember if we ever actually figured out what you're supposed to do, is it chug one or not throw up, I don't remember. But we got real good at it.
I think that there was just a trend of that thing happening. I actually remember my brother speaking about that somewhat at length on a couple times going, I don't really know how this works out, but I think I won. I don't know.
Yeah, we didn't really care. It was just like, I just know that I had this gift that I could balance a beer, hold it on my head, and take a shot and still be good to go.
That's going to save your life someday, so just hang on.
I think it has saved my life.
Probably has.
A few times. But all right, Uncle Rico, you are holstered. Let's talk about your business and your entrepreneurial journey, because I know that's what you're here for.
Oh, thank you. No. So, I'm Nate Shanklin. I am managing director of Walcott Energy Capital. We are a renewable energy development company, and we are based out here in Chicago. Actually, we have partners in Berlin, Germany, and in Philadelphia. And it's been an incredible journey over the last couple of years with the changing nature of the renewable business, the way that it has affected so much of the economy, and then our company as a whole, as we have worked to fit into a very changing landscape for energy.
So I'm very excited, honestly, to have you on, other than just all the shenanigans, because the energy market is something that is, I mean, the whole world is interested to see what's going to happen. But in the very near term, you look at, you know, what Elon Musk is doing with the solar panels and the fact that, you know, I can drive this like BMW i3, it's a, you know, electric car with a little bit of gas. Everything is changing the way that it used to be, and there's a complete restructuring of how we invest our money and where you guys put your money in order to invest in the next thing. So what got you, or have you always been in energy, or what attracted you to this market?
Well, I think that we've myself and my partners viewed this as a fundamental component of where society is heading. You know, we were all attracted to tech. We were all attracted to the construction side of things. In fact, there's a lot of people in the business that come from the commercial real estate side because it's involved with, you know, the siding of the spaces and whatnot. But we view it as just such a fundamental piece of where everything's heading. We were actually talking recently. So much of our work has been on data centers and things like that. And it's interesting that as our technology grows, and we really view this as a corollary, that as technology develops and grows, the need for energy shapes and grows with it. One of my partners actually bought her daughter recently a laptop computer. And it was interesting because she just happened to offhandedly mention that it came with a free terabyte of cloud space. Well, while that's not impeding, let's say, the computer itself, it is actually taking up a good amount of space in a data, in a data center. And what we're seeing is just an incredible increase of the baseline infrastructure that goes into so many different companies. And it's not necessarily visible from the consumer side, but if you look at the U.S. demand for energy, it crawls up at a fairly steady pace every year now.
You know what's funny? Maybe you won't find it funny. I found it funny and interesting. I have a couple of buddies who are big investors, traders on, you know, whether it's Wall Street in New York at the UBS or here in Chicago. And they were telling me, I ask them always, like, how do I get rich? Because I want to get rich. And they were telling me a bunch of different ways that they track and trend. And this one, I think, will line up perfectly what you guys are doing with. By the way, Walcott, what a perfect name for an energy renewal. It just sounds like old school, and I like it.
And it's just a terrific street here in Chicago as well.
That's very true. But to that point, one of the trends that they're tracking is the amount of usage for Amazon has a lot of, they say who has all this different data. Which companies are using the most data? Which companies are having the most data in cloud storage? The ones that report the most data, those are the ones that they're trading on because they know that they're either making a huge investment or they're collecting a ton of data. And so they know, like, I don't care what they're trading at today, but I'm looking at my forecast for 17. They're looking at the companies that have taken out huge chunks of AWS to be able to store tons of data that currently people don't know. So that's how, to double down, that's how important this data component is in the investment world.
Well, sure. And it's interesting you bring that up because where your investors are looking at companies that are developing data centers, those same companies are often quietly coming to us seeking some relief because as a whole, you see a discrepancy in the markets out there in the sense that wholesale electric prices are actually quite cheap in the U.S., but commercial rates are actually quite high as a whole. And so what you have are a lot of these it really runs the gambit from large public companies down to small private. They're coming to us actually quite quietly right now seeking our assistance on multi-state rollouts. And one of the reasons is that they don't want to have the image of greenness not being part of their equation because, companies like Amazon have made it such a part of their equation that it's changed the way that everyone has to express their presence as a company.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is I don't think people think of, when you think of a cloud, the layman, I guess, looks at the cloud and is like, oh, it's just a storage place. I'm sure it's some big computer under the ground. And they don't realize that it's like farms and fields of computers. And that if you want to be a part of that, there's a huge electrical footprint. There's a, energy footprint. There's all kinds of little places that like touch down and actually are very expensive. I don't think the average consumer is thinking that, but that's a reality.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you wanted to reenact scenes from The Matrix or something, you could look at the way that our data centers work. You know, most major companies will operate 3 to 4 redundant data centers. And so if you're talking about large companies like, Allstate or, any of the large consumer manufacturers out there, you're going to talk about just intense amount of data storage and management, and that takes up an enormous amount of power. In fact, people don't always see just how much power goes into managing and controlling data, but data centers do not ever have to have heating elements in them. They do not have to heat themselves in the winter because the sheer servers themselves will just heat the buildings.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, you should have a data center underneath my condo so I can cut down the bill a little bit. What do you think are some of the – obviously, this is – probably an impossible question to answer, but where do you see things going you know, how big do you, how where do you see the direction of things going with data? Everyone knows big data. I always say that the next iteration is going to be sort of the usage of this data. So where are you guys looking? What's the big track you're on right now for the future? Not right now, that 5-year
No,
plan.
Sure. I think that's a fascinating question because, you know, when you evaluate where technology is heading and where the energy markets might intersect that, we're both looking at industries that are getting in, out of their gawky adolescent stage and, you know, getting into somewhat of a young adult stage in terms of their operation. I think, though, that if we look at where technology and where especially energy, well, not especially energy, but both will be in 5 years, you're going to see a market which is highly pushed to make mobile data storage and mobile data usage a priority. Yeah.
So to that point, obviously you're dealing mostly in the commercial space. But I think it's interesting, and this is – I have a theory – with regard to the consumer space, the B2C space in this, you see Google with Pixel, obviously Google Home, Alexa is now a big thing. Siri has been out and they're taking kind of a different approach, not putting it in your home, but saying, we give you the Apple TV, which connects to Siri, which connects to everything else in your house. I think that the to your point here about mobile, so this is actually going somewhere. sometimes it doesn't. I think that I see consumer usage of tools going actually back a little bit to where we have a home computer, a home desktop that has maybe two, three terabytes, four terabytes of storage that have multiple users. This whole, if we all live together, we'd all have our own sort of account and usage. And then you have your mobile device on your iPad or whatever it might be, your Surface if you're a Microsoft person, and you're running around doing your sort of mobile computing there. And then when you're mobile, you're on the train or whatever, you're on your phone, and it all sort of, this is a cloud, that's a cloud, and the cloud ends up having the pieces that you need hard on your home desktop. And so what we're creating, not to get too complex, but what we're creating is cells. You're creating all these individual cells of people who are eating up tons and tons and tons of data. And then you look at the commercial storage, that commercial company is taking all of your behavior, all of your usage, and then storing it again and using it for their own purposes.
Absolutely. And, you know, actually, it's interesting is that as a effect of the industry, supply to individual residential consumers has become a large priority in many states. Community solar, which has, I think, a cute name, but a very effective implementation to it, is really gaining ground in a whole lot of markets because what you're able to do is to aggregate in 100 or more houses or small businesses into a user area, like you're talking about with the bubbles. And, you know, if we're looking at being able to provide effective, cheap energy to supply all of these different needs that are growing within homes and within towns, you know, if you look at the U.S. as a whole, we tend to look at it as this contiguous, you know, area. But in terms of usage, it's actually very pocketed. And, you know, you're talking about the use of data and how that's going to be happening in a pocketed manner. Much of the grid is going to be moving into that direction as well.
Very interesting. What is sort of the next immediate thing you're looking for? We talked about sort of long term. What is tomorrow's initiative for you guys? What are you guys working on right now?
Sure. We're in a hotbed of development right now. We are actively working to bring our services to additional corporate customers. And one of the things that we're doing is that we know that there's usage that is high in many markets around the U.S. So our company is developing systems around the U.S., actually fairly large aggregated systems, that we know that there's going to be the need for coming up in 17, 18, 19, because, you know, for a large solar system, it can take a while to get these designed, developed, permitted in the ground. And we know that there's a need coming up, so it's really up to us to ramp up to meet that need when it gets there.
So you make a good point, and we're got to wrap up here, but you make a good point with the lead time and the cycle that you guys live in. How, if you can answer this, I don't know, how have you been able to fund yourself through cycles like that as a startup and entrepreneurship, you know, group?
No, it's interesting that you bring that up. That has come to us through the general contractors that often work in this business. There's a decided move for European and actually largely European push right now, given some instability in Europe in the solar markets, just whatnot there, that we've actually found some of our original funding through companies that wanted to penetrate into the U.S. market and then saw us as a reliable partner to help them meet those needs. So it's been a very interesting process because stemming back, you know, if you deal with people from different markets, they're going to have different assumptions of what their return on their investment is. And you can see the shifting nature of where this is headed. So anyway, it's a it's been a very interesting ride, and we're very excited for the next couple of years.
I am too. I hope to have you back and talk more about it.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Where do people go to keep up with you guys?
Absolutely. You can please check us out on our website, which is WolcottEnergyGroup.com.
Very cool. Very cool. Guys, I have to say, there's a lot of takeaways here, and we don't have enough time to get into all of the main pieces. But the one thing I noticed, and you can stay in on this conversation, Nate, if you want. He says data, I say data. And I'm not to belittle a very, very important topic, but I've said data my entire life. And when I say data, I feel like I'm being like data? I don't even know.
I'm a data guy.
You're data?
I don't know if it's a Midwest thing.
Look at all that data. Yeah, I guess data.
You're a Midwest guy.
I am a Midwest guy. I just have to think that
But you're in the industry, so it's got
to
be data.
No, it just has to call back to my aunt when she'd have a couple glasses of wine, would say, you know, potato, potato, tomato, and then.
Your aunt. Donata, donata.
Well, then something else.
Your aunt or your aunt?
Oh, that's getting deep. No, so this is like too much.
Well, this is like the worm.
Now you're bringing family into it.
I can tell you, where mine came from was watching Goonies. They called him Data.
Sure.
They called him Data. So it's like, if he's Data, then that's
Star Trek,
Data.
He's Data.
Well,
he's
then it's data.
I think we can settle on Data then.
So from that, can you change
to,
saying Data? It's hard
to bully you into saying Data.
We're bullying you.
I'm not sure you're bullying me. I think it's more encouragement.
Okay, I like that. Encouragement.
You can stream this episode and more on technori.com. You can stay up to date by following us on Twitter and Facebook at Technori. Keep up with our Technori news feed and Technori stories. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.